אתם עכשיו על הקצה.
הקצה משודרת מאולפני BPM. המכללה של תעשיית המוזיקה.
BPM, המציעה מגוון קורסים מובילים בתחומי רדיו ופודקאסטים, קריינות, די-ג'יי, סאונד והפקה, פיתוח קול ועוד. פרטים באתר bpm-music.com.
אתם מאזינים לרדיו הקצה.
הקצה. ועכשיו בקצה, הילי ורדי.
Hey there, so hi, I'm Yili, we're on Tarakabu. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to all the people behind, around and in front of that show and the station. Omer Sanesh, Sapir Cohen, Ben Ash, Leah Spiegel, Nir Limor, Michal, the old college of BPM, Kwame and, well, all the rest from all over the years. Today we're going to have a special show because I'm going to host Adam Hajihia and Jamil Matar from Mahara Jazz. Adam and Jimmy, say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
So we're going to start with Amira Safar. He's going to perform here at the festival. This track we're going to hear called Love Poem. And after that we're going to have a conversation about the festival, why, all about it.
Yeah.
سعد حائل بين النوى وبينه لتنعم العين به يا يابا فلا قول أينه يا يابا يا يابا يا عيوني فلا قول أينه
Adam and Jimmy, first of all, I'm very happy you're here.
Yes, so are we.
Thank you for having us.
It was very important for me to do that, and I'm glad it really happened. Tell a bit, there's a wordplay behind the name of the festival, and I'd like you to explain it for a bit, what it says, what it means. Because it's a nice one, and I think every day you should learn an Arabic word, at least one every day. So this is going to be the word of the day.
Yeah, sure, why not? I'll explain it.
All right.
Mahrajaz is a combined, we combine two words from the Arabic language. Mahrajan, which is mean festival, and jazz, which is not like an Arabic language, but like it's the, these two words we combine it together, and we came with the word Mahrajaz.
All right.
Just add the Z in the end.
All right.
It's a wordplay.
Yeah,
it's a nice one. I like it. Yeah. That's why I asked you to explain it. And the festival, well, for me, it's very, it's obvious why the festival is important and why we like, why the Palestinian culture needs it and, well, why Haifa needs it, but. What do you think? When you came up with the idea 3 years ago, why did you do it?
The idea came from the lack of the understanding of the word jazz and what does it mean for the Palestinian community here, and the lack of sources of having a festival or any educational kind of program. From there, we came with the idea of doing a jazz festival and bringing musicians from all over the world to introduce what really the meaning of jazz and jazz music and where it comes from, and to introduce it to the Palestinian community here.
All right.
So from here came the idea, and then we decided to do it, and we did it.
Yeah. basically. We like it's basically the vision behind the festival. I mean, there's a lot of musicians we listen to, Arab Lebanese musicians, that their music is influenced by jazz,
mm-hmm.
but we don't really know that this is, you know, inspired or influenced by jazz, and we listen to it and we like it. And although there is not really a history of jazz music in Arab culture, we have a different kind of history of music. We see there is a great resemblance between the Palestinian community and the Palestinian struggle in comparison to the African-American struggle, and how jazz was born from very difficult, unjust conditions. It was a way to express these things. And we see that this is a great model of expression to be introduced to the Palestinian community. It's a very good tool to express, to revolt, to criticize, to speak. It's not a genre. It's a language of some sort. First of all, there are a lot of good reviews that we had about the first and the second year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people came to the live shows and to the performances without really knowing what to expect. They know that it's a jazz festival, but they don't really know how variant and how diverse jazz music is. And they would leave the show very excited and very overwhelmed and saying that we didn't know this is jazz. We didn't know that jazz is so colorful and different. And additionally, in the first and second year, we had local jazz musicians who were in the lineup. First year we had Jamal Moore and Luke Stewart from the US, who performed with Dirar Kalash.
Mm-hmm.
Dirar Kalash is Palestinian. And the second year we had Farah Suleiman.
Yeah, we had also in the first year Ruba Shamshoum.
Ruba Shamshoum as well, which is she's a vocalist and a lyricist and a jazz musician.
The queen of the show.
Yes, you probably play her music all the time.
Yeah.
And the workshops, I mean, Jamil can just speak about how important the workshops are, because we organize workshops that are free of charge. Some of them are specific for musicians, and some of them are more broad and general, that are open for all kinds of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're usually conducted on the same day before the performance of the festival. A lot of musicians communicated and shared their knowledge with the audiences. Sometimes we had jams, sometimes musicians talked about how they compose tracks or music in general, what is their approach or take on jazz.
Because,
you know, jazz is very diverse, it's not something very specific.
Yeah.
So you might as well learn something new every time.
Yeah. Also in the first year we had a workshop that Jamal Moore and Luke Stewart with the Dirar Kalash talked about the meaning of word jazz and where it come from, and the political view of the black African American like in the jazz industry, and how this could how that's connect to the Palestinian struggle here and stuff like this. So that was an answer for your question from the beginning.
All right. I have another question. Actually, it's for Jimmy, and after that, I'd like to ask you both. Jimmy, you play jazz, you listen to jazz, but you're not listening to what, let's say, mainstream American jazz, usually, from what I've heard, you know, and what I saw, you're not like the kind of regular person on the streets gonna tell you, yeah, I'm listening to jazz, I'm listening to Louis Armstrong or something. So, how do you define jazz after the festival, after doing that for 3 years, and how did you define it before that?
Well, I'm a big fan of jazz music, and that's one of the reasons that I listen to so much music, and not maybe mainstream, if you want to call it like this.
Mm-hmm.
The word jazz for me before and after, before the festival, came from me as going through this process of trying to be a jazz musician. So it's basically for me, it doesn't mean a genre or type of music. It's more about a way of dealing with things. So in this process I could learn, if you have a problem, how I can learn to deal with it. It's basically every problem we face in life, it doesn't matter how big or how small it is. It's basically how you face it or how you deal with it. And the part of jazz, one of the main parts is improvisations. So it's always like you're trying to play what you're feeling right now, and not like playing what you composed 1 year or 2 years ago, and trying to do the same things, and like trying to bring the same energy every night with the same song, with the same lyrics. So the thing with jazz is like every night you're trying to play what you feel right now, because in every venue and every night you will feel something different, like, and you have different atmosphere, you have different people, and all these aspects makes the music sounds different, in my opinion. And after the festival, like, we came across few things or few like issues that we had in the festival, and the musicians like took it in a different way. Like, they we had some, for example, Mikkel Plug's trio in the second year, they came to the venue, they listened to the sound system and they said, fuck it, we don't want it, like, we want to play acoustic, because this venue with this acoustic sounds good without putting, like, you know, speakers and all the electronic things. So they did it this way, and that was amazing. Like, so that was like one of the examples that when it happens, I said, oh, that's totally like Mahrajaz. It's like we're trying always to deal and improvise our problems and to look at it in a positive way.
Well, it's kind of what you said. It's it reminds me of French theater, which is one of the things I like about theater, that every time you can watch the same show every night, it's not improvising, but it's still the atmosphere, it's different, the crowd is different, the actors, they're different, because maybe I don't know, last week the actress was happy and with her partner and everything was okay, and then the week after that she had a breakup and she's sad now. And it goes, when you're in fringe, the crowd can see it. That's it reminds me of that, and that's actually one of the things I liked. I've been to the to a show of Wildflower. Yeah. Sorry, it's I'm excited. Well, I've been to a show of Wildflower, the next fest, the last festival, not the next one. We're gonna hear them later, and it was one of the best shows I've ever been at, because they were in it. Like, at the moment, you could see how much they put into their music, into their playing, into the crowd, and the crowd was hypnotized. It was amazing. It was totally spontaneous, and it was amazing. But I've got another question, well, actually for both of you. Well, you said it's the jazz music is very diversity, and I agree with that. You also told us that you two, and I guess a lot of other people, they listen to music that is the music that is came from Lebanon and influenced by jazz. But it's not only jazz, it's also French music. How do you pick the artists that you invite? And, well, I wanted to ask it earlier, but who are those Lebanese musicians I'd like to hear?
I think Adam meant Firouz when he said that.
Or Ziad.
Yeah, and Ziad. They're well known, you know.
Yeah. I love Ziad very much. He's amazing.
So their music is like, some of their music based on jazz standards and stuff like this.
It's true.
And in how we're picking the bands that will come, like, we have a huge list. Every year we have like maybe more than 30 bands that we try to contact. And after we get the first reply, there's like another phase of, you know, how much is gonna cost, what's their political view, stuff like this.
All right.
our struggle of, you know, dealing with, I don't know, dates and money. So there's lots of things. And then every time, as well, we don't want to bring like something that's gonna sell tickets, but it's not like very genuine or like a commercial like kind of concert. So it's like a process for like 1 year almost. Every year we have it, and then we discuss, and then, you know, from this 30-40 bands,
okay,
we always came up with like
all right. So for those of you who don't know, I'm gonna say that Ziad Rahbani is the son of Fairuz and Elias Rahbani. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And Elias Rahbani is one of the most famous and important, and his music is very, he influenced about a lot of musicians through the last century. So Ziad is like the, I don't know, you can say inheritor of Elias, but not really. Ziad is a pianist. He also influenced a lot of musicians from our generation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He's very good, very, very talented, and very special. Also, not only in the Arabic music culture and history, also well, in around the world. One of the beautiful things about him is his ability to play with his history and well, actually the jazz music, also with music that it's not necessarily jazz or Arabic music, but people gonna call it classic, but it's I don't like the word classic. But Jimmy and Adam, I'd like you to tell me about that. For instance, Jim Black is a drummer, he's going to perform at the festival. We're gonna hear it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I'd like to ask how, like, he's a drummer, he's doing things that are very, how can I put it, they're very special and interesting, but usually drummers, they're not the front of the band, usually they are the back.
Not in jazz, I don't think.
Yeah, so that's why.
Maybe in rock bands,
me.
But not in jazz.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to. I put it in like second, so we can talk about it a lot and a lot and a lot, up until we get enough or be kicked out. Whatever comes first. So, guys, we're gonna listen now to "Sought After," which is the it's a piece from Jim Black's last album, which is gonna perform at the festival, right? From Malamud?
Yes.
Yep.
Alright. It's a beautiful one, so take a nice seat and listen carefully.
Thank you.
earlier we said that in jazz music it's not the drummer is not necessarily has to be in the back of the band. What does it mean?
Well, basically, for example, we're speaking about Jim Black.
Right.
Jim Black, I mean, in the history of modern jazz, modern day jazz, is a very, I would say, revolutionary in terms of what he introduced to jazz music.
Mm-hmm.
And his style and his approach and take on jazz at the beginning of the 90s was very progressive and avant-garde, very contemporary and experimental. And as we said before, jazz is a language of some sort, is a figure of speech.
Right.
And the way he plays, the way he expresses his emotions on stage, the way he plays the drums is very unique. The thing is that we said about drummers or any kind of player of any kind of instrument, the thing about jazz is anyone who plays, whether with their voice, whether it's vocals, contrabass, drums, any kind of instrument, they have their say in any kind of session of playing, any kind of track. People do have their place to express what they have to say and how they feel, and it's a matter of communication on stage. Like, what does make jazz? What does it make it different from any kind of music? Because it's communicative. It's giving people a stage to play and to listen to them and what they have to say, and also to reply. It gives you a place of expression. It's a place of communication.
And to create a dynamic between the players.
Exactly.
Also, with drums, it's even more special, because with drums you cannot... Well, you can do solos. You can do it,
yes.
But I guess the regular... the non-musical person, let's call it like this, I don't know if it's gonna notice the harmony, or if there's a melody or something. I know it took me a long time to understand that, hey, there are notes in drums.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yes.
It took me a long time,
yeah,
to understand that.
Yeah.
So it's with drums, it's even more interesting, and yet the drums, well, in what we just heard, they don't take over the entire feeling, the entire dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So is it part of it? Is it part of the reason you invited him? Because you said he knows what he's doing with this tool, and still he's got the most most dominant tool on stage,
yeah,
basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he lets others to take their place as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is this part of the reason you invited him? Because I can see a very deep connection between this, for instance, and the Palestinian struggle, and the fact that in this struggle people they want to have recognition in their national identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yet not being given the stage.
I think one of the reasons that first of all, we were very surprised when he answered us, and he was super nice.
Yes,
he's a very funny guy.
So nice.
And he's super funny, and the first thing he said to me that he liked that he ate the best falafel in his life in Ramallah, and he would love to try it again. And but one of the reasons that we contacted him, because like Jim, he's first of all, he's a great musician.
Yes.
Through jazz history as well.
Sure.
He's very is very famous and well known in the jazz scene, but the main reason is like, because most of the people say that jazz is boring, and it's like it's very kind of, you know, they don't understand and stuff like this, and Jim was one of the people who took the music that he liked, like rock and progressive rock, and he combined it with the music that he loves as well, which is jazz. So he basically combined this. He didn't say that it's wrong to play, like, I don't know, a straight beat over jazz structure or stuff like this. So he combined these two worlds of like progressive rock and jazz to like one thing, and yet make it sound like very beautiful in these two worlds.
Very fresh.
Exactly. So this is one of the reasons, like, you know, like we didn't think twice when we, you know, thought of bringing Jim Black.
I think it's great because personally I love him and his music. Not him, I don't know him. I love his music very much.
You will like him, trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You will love him.
He's all very right. Friendly.
Okay, good. I'm into friendly people. I'm into them. So we're gonna listen to Aquanaru, which is a producer, vocalist, rapper, player, musician. She's everything. Also, it's very important to say she's a poetry slam writer. We're gonna listen to a song called My Mother's Daughter from her last album.
Mama sent me to where the crossroads finishes.
So, can we talk a bit about the influence of jazz music about rap music? Because they both came from the same place, a struggle. And they're both are very, well, adapting and changing, and they're from one hand, and from the other hand, it sometimes looks like they're going to the same direction of being repetitive, and I admit, could be a bit boring.
First of all, like the development of hip hop music is very much connected to jazz music. It is in a way a subgenre of jazz music, inspired and some kind of a mutation over time. About Aquanaru, I think, well, she's a very interesting artist on so many different levels. First of all, she's a scholar. She made a lot of research about women in jazz and the history of jazz music and black feminism. And her kind of identity is very much involved in her creation. Like, she doesn't make music just for the sake of making music. She does criticize and talk about many different things, her community, female-related issues, black feminism, sexuality, which adds a lot of weight to the kind of music she creates. And yes, I mean, not like, I mean, hip hop is a music that is related to struggle. But you know, hip hop did change as well over time. I mean, not any kind of music is feminist and revolutionary. There's a lot of rappers who would say a lot of misogynistic things.
I agree.
But she did maintain a very specific vision of hip hop. She did maintain the roots and the ancestry of the music that she creates. She does criticize a lot of different subject matters without really trying to sell or commercialize herself, and people like her for that because she's very genuine, she's very honest, she's very critical.
All right. First of all, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that she is a woman.
Yes.
And second, for me, a lot of people call hip hop music or rap music, I don't know, like people like Kanye West or Jay-Z, whatever, any kind of famous American rapper there is today. For me, they're not rappers. I don't put them in the same section as the rappers I listen to. Because when I listen to a rapper, I want them to say something. Like, take for instance, you know what, even Dom. I know there's a lot of criticism about Dom today, but even they are a lot better. Like in a way of the lyrics and what they're saying, at least at the first, I know for sure that at the first album, I know the last one, can criticize the music, okay, but like if we talk about the lyrics, they say something, which is not chauvinistic or at least trying to be. Or Anna Tijoux, or any kind of rapper that talks about struggle, talks about identity, and not saying, "Well, I have a lot of money and a lot of cars." So,
which, in a way, I do agree to what she said in a way, but also, I mean, there's a like, rap or hip hop. It's very different. I mean, there's, of course, I don't support any kind of misogynistic or chauvinist sayings, but there's a lot of different ways people talk about their struggle. And maybe right now the commercial way is to brag about how much money in car you have, but this is also some kind of black pride that people take to in a commercial way.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. Like, it's a subject by itself to analyze and discuss, but yeah, I mean, hip hop and rap did change over time, and it did kind of lose a lot of its importance in order to sell and to be commercial.
Yeah, I also think that in a way, well, there are a lot of ways to talk about struggle, and maybe it is, as you said, it maybe it is some kind of black pride, but well, it doesn't matter how tan we're gonna be, we're still white in some sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Although you two are Palestinian, I'm an Iberian, it doesn't matter, but it's a different kind of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when I see people around me react to those songs, they don't think about the struggle, they don't think about black pride, they think about I want to have it as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So for me it's problematic,
but that's
I can understand that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can understand that, I can maybe relate to that in some sort of way as a woman, but I can't agree with it completely.
Yeah.
Because it's not only a problem within the lyrics and the message. Today people don't think about the sub-content.
Yes.
Like, if a kid's going to hear it, he's going to say, I want to have that, like he has. Also, it makes the music to be something that is less like Naru. She's got her music, it's got weight. It's got the weight of her identity, of her history, of her roots. You can hear it. Mm-hmm. You can totally hear it. With Anna Tijoux it's the same thing. She's got roots.
Yes.
In hip hop music, when I tried, I'm not listening to them, but I tried, I really tried. I listen to them and I feel like I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing the history of the person. But I do think that, well, I've got nothing more to say. I do agree with you. I just think it's a very problematic way of expression.
Mm-hmm.
Especially today.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, we all know that people today, they don't like to think.
Yeah.
They like to take it as it is, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we're gonna... God, forgot what I wanted to say. We're gonna listen to another song of Amr Safar. We've gone through a lot of subjects today, because we got only an hour. So we have to. Amr Safar is gonna perform with his ensemble Rivers of Sound, right?
Two Rivers Ensemble.
I'm sorry.
He will forgive you.
I'm sure. The minute he'll see me,
yeah.
He's got you got beautiful eyes. Okay, I forgive you. He's gonna perform as well. He's from Iraq, which is, I don't want to say interesting, but I. He's from Iraq, he lives now in the United States, of course, otherwise I guess I think there's a problem of getting in here or something from Iraq, I'm not sure about it, or if you have another passport. I do know that, for instance, I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know about you too, I hope you can.
We can't.
bummer. Let's just cancel everything and that's it.
Fuck Israel.
Yeah. Totally fuck Israel. No fun. What's the point of having, like, what's the point? You can't go nowhere. There's no point in this country. Just occupation. That's all they know how to do. But we're going to listen now to Amr Safar. And after that, we're going to chat a little about him and a bit about also Aquanaro. Because I think, even though I guess they don't know each other, I found them a bit related.
Yes.
So guys, Amira Safar is very rhythmic, very interesting. A lot is happening through his tracks, pieces, you name it. And yeah, it is also very, how can I put it into words? Is very attached, I'm sorry. The parts in the piece are very attached to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Every instrument is talking, it's like a conversation between the instruments, which a bit reminds me of Aquanaro, because if you think about it, although rap music came from jazz music, it's very, very easy to ruin such a thing. So, first of all, do you think it has anything to do with the Arabic music? Because I do know from listening, like, reading a bit about the history of Arabic music, whether if it's Palestinian or Iraqian or Egyptian or Lebanese, that in Arabic music it's very important to have this conversation. Not only in the dynamics between the players, but in the even in the way the tool is built.
Mm-hmm.
The instrument is built. Like, there are instruments who are meant to be in the front of the stage, and there are instruments who are meant to be to talk with another instrument. Like, by the way they build, by the way they sound like. So, how come they managed to get so close from one hand to the fact that the world is changing today and the dynamic is not like it used to be from one hand, like in the case of Aquanaro, and between the fact that actually, like, Amir, he's God, I lost it.
Maybe we can talk about Amir.
Yeah, we can totally talk about Amir, but I had a question, I built it in my head, and I'm a bit sad I lost the question. Never mind, but about Amir. So, he's very special. And as I said, he reminds me a bit of Aquanaro. In a way of the, well, actually the ability of their both to talk between, to have a conversation between instruments, also between genres.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think it comes to an expression, and why do you think it's happening? Like, not only with those two, but with musicians who's got maybe other roots, I can put it like this, or, you know?
Yeah, I think it's not just Amir and Aquanaro. I think also it's Jim Black and No Thanks that we're gonna have.
Mm-hmm.
And many more musicians. Their ability just to bring the things that they love, or their roots, their culture, and to combine it with jazz or hip-hop or any kind of music. So the ability of combine, like, two things and make it something that they can express themselves with it. I think it it's those days, like, you know, it's all connected to media, it's also connected to internet, where now you can take information very quickly and within few seconds. But I don't know, in the 50s when you had to walk in New York, you just listened to bebop, for example. And now back in the days, I don't know, my grandfather or my father couldn't listen to this kind of music because they weren't in the US. And those days, now I can listen to someone who's, I don't know, playing in Ghana or playing in Japan or, I don't know, in the US. So this era where we can, like, get information that quickly and that's, like, accessible. So that's, you know, with it came the ideas of combining different type of music and different genres and stuff like this. So I think this have this is have like to do with the thing that now we're hearing a new type of music and a different kind of music, or like two different musics combined to each other. But I think in Mahrajaz this year, all the bands have their kind of very special way of what they think about jazz or how they want to express themselves, and they combine it kind of. So like for example, Jim Black with his like progressive rock, Amir Safar with his like Middle Eastern and Iraqi maqam, Aqua with the hip hop and poetry thing, and No Thanks, the band from France, they're kind of bringing more like they recorded they went to the forest and they recorded sounds from the forest, and they combined it with their own way of how they playing with the instrument, prepared instrument, so they will use the instrument in a different way that what the people think it's usually played, and they will attack it or like play it in a different way. So I think every band this year, they have their own thing and a way of combining and playing this kind of music and expressing themselves through jazz and everything.
Well, you're definitely right. Not only about the media and the way we get information, but also about those bands and artists that are going to perform. Because I don't know if you've heard or anything, but I do know a lot of them from before. Well, it's not a lot of them. There are four artists and bands who are going to perform. They're going to do workshops. They're going to do shows, obviously. Well, I think besides No Thanks that I get to know a bit more after the all the publications came out. I knew Jim Blake and Aquanaro and Amir Safar from just because I'm a little music maniac, can't sit quiet and has to do researches about music and to listen to music all day long. And what Jimmy said is very true, because you've heard the three of them are very different from each other. Just for you know, well, they're very different in a way, but they remind me of each other in other ways. But this one is for another time, because unfortunately, we got to finish. And we're going to finish, as I promised Wildflower, we're going to finish with them. They're not going to be in the festival this year, but they did came last year. And Adam and Jimmy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Edie.
And of course, we cannot leave you behind without the details. So, Adam and Jimmy, please tell us where it's gonna happen, when, and well, every detail you've got to give us. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. So this year we're gonna have the festival both in Haifa, Ramallah, and we're gonna have small concert in Berlin village. In Haifa, it's gonna be in the Fattoush Bar and Gallery.
Woo!
And it's gonna be from all the festival is gonna be from the 16th until the 26th of October. We're gonna have all the bands are gonna perform in both Haifa and Ramallah. We're gonna have Amir Safar as our opening act in the 16th of October, and No Thanks on the 18th in Haifa. We're gonna have Jim Black on the 23rd, and we have Aquanaro in two shows in Haifa,
yes.
The 24th and 26th. And We're gonna have as well workshops that's gonna happen before the concert. And if you need more information, you can visit our Facebook page, Maharajaz.
Maharajaz, Palestine Independent Jazz Festival.
Also, for people who want to know the Ramallah's schedule, as well, they can enter to our Facebook page and they will have all the information over there.
Yes, indeed.
All right. And for those of you who don't know how to spell Maharajaz, in order to find it in Facebook, it can be spelled in English, and it's I need you to do it, please. It's
M-A-H-R-A Jazz, Maharajaz.
Yeah, I have problem with words, or not, like, if it's in the original language it's easy, but then you put it in another one and I lose it. I know how to read it, can't spell it. Well, guys, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you for being here. That's it. Enjoy Wildflower.